Well, one of the TV shows I used to enjoy watching was the show Whose Line Is It Anyway? Is anyone familiar with it? It's a game show where improv comics act out humorous scenes on the spot based on audience inputs. And one of the popular games is called World's Worst, where comics have to act out the world's worst version of something. It can be anything from the world's worst teacher to the world's worst roommate to the world's worst person to go on a date with. The answers can be kind of humorous. Today we're going to look at the story of a prophet who may well be considered the world's worst prophet, the prophet Jonah. Many of us probably remember the story of Jonah from Sunday school as a child. Perhaps you remember your Sunday school teacher depicting Jonah getting swallowed by the whale and spending 3 days in the whale's belly. Perhaps that's pretty much what we remember from the book of Jonah. But the story is way more than that of a whale. It's about God's faithfulness to carry out God's intentions, even when human beings are less than cooperative in the process. It's also about God's grace and desire to redeem people, even people who don't particularly deserve it, especially people who don't particularly deserve it. Above all, it's a story of how God can use even the world's worst person to accomplish his redemptive purposes, which should give us some hope and encouragement in our Christian calling. So let's see what this ancient story about a man, a whale, and God's calling has to say to us today. Jonah's story begins with God's call, "Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." Now, Nineveh was the capital of Assyria, one of the greatest and most brutal superpowers of the time. According to one ancient Near Eastern scholar, simply put, the Assyrian state was forged in the crucible of war, invasion, and conquest. The upper landholding classes consisted almost entirely of military commanders who grew wealthy from the spoils taken in war. The army was the largest standing army ever seen in the Middle East or Mediterranean. The technological advances in weaponry and tactics made them nearly unbeatable in battle, and they were equally ruthless in the subjugation of the people they conquered. The Israelites were often on the receiving end of Assyrian aggression, and therefore hated them. One imagines that it is this sentiment that drove Jonah's reaction to God's call to go and preach repentance, preach judgment and possible repentance to Nineveh. And so instead of obeying God's command to go and preach to Nineveh, Jonah boards a ship from the town of Joppa to the town of Tarshish. Now, for those of you who aren't familiar with ancient Near Eastern geography, Tarshish is in the exact opposite direction of Nineveh. Geographically, it would be like one of us being told to go to Pennsylvania or New Jersey and instead going to California. Tarshish was about as far away from Nineveh as one could possibly travel in the ancient world. In other words, God told Jonah to go to Nineveh, and Jonah responded by immediately running in the polar opposite direction, as far away from possible from the place God called him. Not a very faithful prophet. But God wasn't going to let Jonah get out of his calling quite that easily. God sends a mighty storm to shake the boat in which Jonah was attempting to flee. The storm pushes the ship to the brink of sinking and periling the other passengers. Yet somehow Jonah managed to be sound asleep in the ship. The passengers tried throwing overboard the ship's cargo to lighten the load, but to no avail. The ship remained in peril. And the passengers cast lots to figure out that it is Jonah who is the cause of their distress. When he realizes that the jig is up, Jonah confesses to causing the impending calamity and offers to be thrown overboard to avert the disaster. The passengers cast him overboard into the stormy sea to save their ship. And at this point, it seems like Jonah is a goner, but God has another, more creative plan for Jonah. God sends a large fish, Many believe a whale to swallow Jonah, and Jonah spends the next 3 days trapped in its belly. I'm sure at this point, Jonah must have been seriously reconsidering his life choices. Despite his predicament, Jonah cries out to God for deliverance, and God tells the whale to spit out Jonah on dry land. God delivered Jonah from the storm and from the whale. However, God still had some unfinished business to sort out with Jonah. Jonah may have gotten out of the whale, but he was not off the hook from his calling, pun intended. God again commands Jonah, get up, go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim the message that I tell you. And this time Jonah goes to Nineveh to give the message God has for it. He goes about a day's walk into the city, about a third of the way through it, and proclaims 40 days more and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Now stop and picture the scene for a minute. Jonah by himself goes into the capital city of one of the most hated and feared military superpowers of the day, known for crushing its enemies and grinding them into a fine powdery dust. And he stands in the middle of the town and tells them that God is going to bring judgment in 40 days. Jonah was probably fearful for his own safety and well-being, to put it mildly, giving this message of judgment to a tough crowd. And I'm sure the absurdity of the task was not lost on Jonah. The residents of the capital city of the strongest military superpower in the world, listening to some random foreign guy tell them that God was going to bring judgment on them. Perhaps it seemed like a fool's errand. But Jonah took a step of faith and delivered the message God had for the Ninevites. And miraculously, they listened. They repented. And they experienced God's mercy. Chapter 3, verse 10, when God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity that he said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. God spared Nineveh because Nineveh repented, and they repented because they heard Jonah's message. God used Jonah, arguably the world's worst prophet, to pave the way for the repentance and restoration of Nineveh. Even when Jonah tried to run away from God's call, as far away from God's call as he possibly could, God rerouted Jonah using a whale, rerouted him back to his mission of preaching to Nineveh. Jonah's message was not particularly eloquent. He didn't really seem that into it, and yet God used Jonah and Jonah's message to carry out God's redemptive purposes. And the kicker is that Jonah wasn't even pleased with the results. His response to Nineveh's repentance, beginning of chapter 4, this was very displeasing to Jonah, and he became very angry. He prayed to the Lord and said, "Oh Lord, is this not what I said while I was still in my own country? That is why I fled to Tarshish at the beginning, for I knew that you are a gracious God, merciful and slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, and ready to relent from punishing. And now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." That's quite a response to success in ministry. Despite Jonah's indignation, God teaches Jonah a valuable lesson about God's mercy. After some back and forth, God says to Jonah, "Should I not be concerned about Nineveh, that great city, in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also many animals?" In other words, God's care and concern was not just for Jonah, not just for God's own covenant people, but God wished to extend mercy and redemption even to the hated Assyrians in Nineveh. Even if Jonah didn't like it, God wanted to use Jonah to bless even his enemies in Nineveh. Now, scholars debate whether the story of Jonah represents an actual historical account or an ancient Near Eastern parable of sorts, illustrating God's mercy even to those who don't deserve it. But however we interpret it, Jonah's story invites us to ponder God's call upon our lives, upon our calling as a church. So I challenge us to think today, what is our Nineveh? What is that one place, the last place on earth, that we would want God to call us to go and minister? What is that one group of people to whom we would beg and plead with God not to send us? That place or people group that we would rather risk a perilous journey across the sea in another direction, on the other side of the world, to avoid going to? That place or that people group that makes us afraid, that we think doesn't deserve God's grace or redemption? Where is Nineveh for us? What is our Nineveh? We probably don't have to go across the world to find it. I imagine there are places right here in Newark or Cecil County that many of us may find a lot like Nineveh, places we might rather avoid. You can send us anywhere, Lord, but please don't send us there. How would we respond if God sent us to minister there? Would we go, or would we, like Jonah, try to run the other direction? And then what is our Tarshish? What is the place or people group to which we'd rather flee to evade God's call? A place where we feel more comfortable, where we feel safe and secure, where everyone looks and thinks and acts a little more like us. Or perhaps Tarshish is not so much a place, but a time. A kinder, gentler time when it was easy to be the church in society. The good old days when everyone came to church on Sunday and when shops were closed and there were no soccer games or social media to distract families from worship. When people came to us and we didn't have to go out into the neighborhood to know them. Do we trust God to go to Nineveh even when we'd rather flee to Tarshish? Another point of this story is that Jonah's story reminds us of God's grace and redemption. It's about God's desire to see the Ninevehs of the world repent and turn to his goodness and justice. God's desire to show mercy to the people who we don't think really deserve it. God's desire to call us, to use us, imperfect as we are, to minister to the people he calls us to serve. Our calling may not be to a place as extreme as Nineveh, but it may well be to a place that takes us outside of our comfort zone, to people who are different from us, even people who we may not like or who make us afraid. Like Jonah, we may be tempted to take the first ship to the other side of the world to avoid God's call. But if we're faithful, I'm sure we'll find, like Jonah, that God shows up, that God gives us the words to say. And even if it seems like a ridiculous task, that there's no possible way we could be able to succeed, that when God calls us to do something, God shows up and provides what we need to accomplish the task. And we don't have to control the outcome. In fact, we may not even like the outcome. Like Jonah, we might be uncomfortable, even angry or indignant that God would show mercy to the people in our Nineveh. But it seems like that's how God rolls, giving grace and mercy to those who seem to deserve it the least. Jonah's story also reminds us of another important spiritual truth in our Christian walk. In the New Testament, Jesus makes reference to Jonah in what seems like a cryptic conversation about signs, specifically those who demand a sign from Jesus to prove that he really is who he says he is. And Jesus says there'll be no sign given but the sign of Jonah, a reference to Jonah's 3-day captivity in the belly of the whale. Just as Jonah spent 3 days in the belly of the whale, so Jesus would spend 3 days in the tomb before conquering death in his resurrection. And in baptism, we Christians symbolically are buried and raised to new life in Christ. In baptism, we die to ourselves and rise to Christ to follow him and have a new life in him. In baptism, we are bound to Christ and to one another. And we are given a new mission and a new purpose to live and work for God's kingdom and not just our own plans. Kingdom living means adopting new attitudes and new behaviors, listening for God's voice and heeding that call to bring the message of Christ's redemption wherever God calls us to go, even Nineveh. In our story, Jonah had to die to his own preferences, his own comfort, his own plans for ministry in order to fulfill the plans that God had for him. Jonah's own doubts and fears and resistance to the ministry he was called to do had to be buried in the belly of the whale so that he could emerge changed and reborn and renewed in God's call. It wasn't a particularly glamorous rebirth, but that time in the whale changed Jonah. And so we too, as the local church, that local representation of the body of Christ, needs to die to our own preferences, our own plans, and our own comfort, our own self-preservation to minister to the people to whom God calls us. It may not always be easy. Like Jonah, we may be tempted to run in the other direction. We may be tempted to flee to Tarshish, our comfort zone, where it's safe, where it's low risk. Hopefully God won't have to send a whale to swallow us up for 3 days. But if we're faithful and we answer God's call, even imperfectly, we may not think we're equipped. We may not think we have the right words, the right resources, the right attitude. We may think we're the world's worst person for the job. We might do the world's worst job at what we're called to do, and yet God remains faithful and merciful. Like Jonah, we'll experience God's grace and blessing, and it will transform us for the better and enable us to bring that loving transformation to our community and our world. Jonah may have been the world's worst prophet, but he followed God's call and paved the way for God's grace to redeem the people of Nineveh. God was gracious to Jonah, even when Jonah ran the other way. God was gracious to Nineveh, even though they didn't deserve it. And God is gracious to us, even when we feel the fear and the insecurity and the anxiety, even when we're not sure we're up for the task. We are part of the church, the body of Christ. In our baptism, we are bound to Christ and one another, and we're called to pursue God's kingdom purposes, to go where God calls us, even if it's Nineveh. And so, friends, may we boldly go wherever God calls us, trusting that his grace will guide us there, sustain us there, and redeem us and others there. And may God bless this message to our hearing. Amen.